Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in the room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel." And he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. The Lord called again, "Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again a third time, and he got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make both ears of anyone who hears of it tingle. On that day, I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God and he did not restrain them. Therefore, I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be expiated by sacrifice or offering forever." Samuel lay there until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. But Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." He said, "Here I am." Eli said, "What was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all that he told you." So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. Then he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." As Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel was a trustworthy prophet of the Lord. This too is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Several years ago, I woke up in the middle of the night and couldn't get back to sleep. I kept hearing strange noises, and I was genuinely afraid. Sounded almost like a scratching sound or something at the door, somebody walking around near our house. And you know, at 1 o'clock in the morning, your mind can play tricks on you anyway. So I was just convinced that somebody was trying to break in the house. I wasn't about to go down to the basement, but I got up and locked the door at the top of the steps in case that would do anything. I kind of timidly looked out the kitchen window, made sure my phone was nearby. But basically, I just laid there wide awake until sleep finally took over. I never knew what it was. Just my crazy mind playing tricks on me or what? Until a few days later, when I ran into my neighbor, Carolyn. Her son worked the second shift, so he always got home in the middle of the night. She said you wouldn't believe what he saw a few days ago. He was pulling in from work, and there was a whole family of deer right by your door, two at the basement and one on the front steps. We just couldn't believe how close they would get even with your porch light on. And it clicked. I had been spooked by a deer. When the story picks up in 1 Samuel, Samuel's just a boy. And one night he has this very strange experience where he's hearing these sounds while he's sleeping, up to and including a voice. Now, nobody in their right mind would have thought that it was the Lord. Would you? That is so unexpected, so unlike any experience he's ever had. Plus, the story says that it was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. So just about all night long, Samuel keeps misunderstanding his own ears. He goes to Eli, "Here I am, you called me." And Eli says, "No, I didn't, go back to bed." Happens three different times throughout the night. The Lord calls to Samuel. Samuel assumes it's Eli, runs to his side. Eli tells him to go back to bed. The next time he hears the voice, the whole thing happens all over again. You have to wonder whether old Eli is amused or annoyed, sleepy, or just confused. But finally, Eli, whose vision is poor, but whose understanding is obviously great, figures it out. It has to be the Lord. So he tells young Samuel what to do. If he calls you again, say, "Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening." I wonder if either of them slept another wink that night. Eli is a lifelong priest of the Lord, a servant in the temple, and here he is, for the very first time, about to get a message straight from the Lord. And it's being facilitated by his very own student, his mentee, a boy who is like a son to him, Samuel. What prouder moment could there be for a priest? But when the message comes to Samuel, it's a hard one to hear. God says, "I'm about to do something in Israel that will make both ears of anyone who hears of it tingle." This figure of speech of making your ears tingle is only used four times in the Old Testament, once in this story, once in 2 Kings, and twice in Jeremiah. And in all four passages, it means the same thing. This is going to be shocking and probably devastating. It's going to burn your ears. It's hard news. God uses this figure of speech when he's disappointed in the people's behavior and when they are about to suffer the consequences of their own actions. So in the case of Samuel and Eli, God is disappointed with Eli's sons. They have been blaspheming God, and Eli hasn't done anything to try and stop them. So God sees that Eli's sons are not capable of carrying on this family tradition and leadership role, and God sends Samuel as the prophet who will warn them that they will be held accountable. Samuel lays there until morning, afraid of having to face Eli and tell him what he heard. He doesn't want to do it. Samuel loves Eli like his own father. Eli has taught him everything he knows about God, about Scripture, about how to live a life of faith. And if it weren't for Eli, Samuel wouldn't have even realized that it was God speaking to him in the first place. And now it's really unflattering, ear-tingling words. Have you ever had to give someone really hard, life-changing news? Or have you ever been on the receiving side? That phone call you've been dreading. News about your test results. Or a loved one's accident. Or have you turned on the news lately? From the storming of the Capitol to the death toll of COVID-19, to the widening divisions in our nation, and the growing rates of depression and substance abuse, it seems like it's almost all bad news. And maybe it seemed that way for Samuel and Eli in this moment. Because Eli and Samuel are finding out that their futures will not be like anything they had planned or imagined. Eli will have to reckon with his own mistakes as a priest and as a father. But just think. Even in the midst of that failure, in the midst of those shattered dreams, that's when God's voice shows up. Maybe not as a cozy, soothing bandage, but God's voice comes to make a new path, to reconcile with the past, and to move forward with Samuel now as the leader. God's word for us can be challenging to hear. You've probably heard it before, but I love that quote by Mark Twain. It's not the parts of the Bible I don't understand that bother me. It's the parts I do understand. God's word is clothed in unconditional love, but God's word also calls us to accountability, to do justice, to love mercy, to walk humbly. It challenges us to love our enemies, to pray for the people we'd rather not pray for. God's word lays bare our mistakes, our greed, our blasphemy. But God's word also gives us the path forward. Tomorrow is the day in our nation when we remember Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and all the ways that he spread God's word as a Baptist minister and as a leader in nonviolent resistance and as a self-proclaimed extremist for love. He tried to help all of us reckon with the failings of our past and present so that we could join hands in a more just and peaceful future. But But for a lot of his contemporaries, that word was too hard to hear. Like Samuel getting what he thought was bad news, it was harsh, critical, definitely not flattering or all good feeling. But it was the word we needed. I wonder in today's world, with all of our trouble, our ongoing racism, our selfishness, our penchant toward violence, what is the word that we would hear if God were to call our names in the middle of the night? There's one thing for certain. If we're going to hear it clearly, we'll need each other. Samuel had the good eyesight, the strong body, and the eager mind, but Eli had the ears, the wisdom, and the grace to accept even the hardest of words. He said, "If it is the Lord, let him do what seems good to him." Together, Samuel and Eli, they were able to receive God's message. And that event propelled Samuel into a life as one of God's most trustworthy prophets. And in the same way, we need each other's eyes and ears, hearts and minds, to receive God's word and to carry it into a weary world. In a few moments, we'll have the great joy of ordaining and installing our newest elders for their service among the session of this church, because we believe that decisions are best made in community, that this is how we come to know God's will for our church and for our lives. None of us can do it alone. Some of you have keen eyes, seeing the needs, the gifts, the longings all around us. Some of you are the ears, recognizing God's voice, hearing it above all the noise of the world. Some of you have wise and discerning hearts. Some of you have eager and willing hands. All of you are here because of God's grace and God's leading. And you are here because at some point along the way, you said, "Here I am. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening." Thanks be to God. Amen.